Thank you for joining Truth in Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth in Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthinlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth in Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth in Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress.
In other words, he says, I'm between a rock and a hard place. He said, to stay here, oh, is good. Oh, but to leave is gain. If I stay here, you need me here. Paul said, I got to do some more teaching. I got to do some more preaching. So you need me to stay here. But if I leave, oh, I'm going to gain. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said, I want to go there, but I got some more work to do. Come on, can I prophesy to somebody? Stop signing your death certificate. You got some more work to do. Stop putting your funeral arrangements together. You got some more work to do. If God wanted you gone, you'd have been gone. Oh, stop trying to put things in order. Talk about that. You should put things in order. Oh, but I shall not die, but I'm going to live and declare the works of the Lord. I'm going to be around as long as God want me to be around. I'm going to keep on swinging as long as God want me to keep swinging. I'm going to be in existence as long as he want me to be here. Stop talking about you getting ready to get out of here. Every little neck ache, every headache, every little back ache. Oh, this finna be the big one. This the big one. I'm getting ready. No, God is just trying to give you a testimony to let you know that he got something for you to do. Yes, he does. Y'all making me work hard. I'm not trying to work hard today. I didn't even bring me a change of shirt because I said, I ain't going, you know what? I said, self said, huh? I said, man, he ain't going to work hard today. I said, okay. I left him a little shirt home. So y'all don't make me work hard. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, so whatever, wherever, whatever, wherever, whether, yeah, there it is. So whether we are at home, thank you, chemist. So whether we are at home or away, here it is. We make it our aim to please him. This is my motivation for existence. You don't know why you're here. You don't know your purpose. You can't do what other people do. Come on, everybody can't sing like this person. Everybody can't play like that person. Everybody don't got that height like Alexis and got that J like Pastor Kobe. Everybody can't do the thing that you do. Come on here, somebody. Everybody can't do what they do. So, but you, my friend. Oh, y'all thought that was funny. I didn't say anything funny. Now, they don't call me Kobe for nothing. Now, you think they call me Kobe because it's a short for my name. No, they used to call me RRS. RRS. Release, rotation, splash. That's what they used to call me. RRS. So, you might not have that J like me, but you got to know. Come on, play with it now. Yeah, but you got to know, in my ankles, you got to know that God has something for you to do. Here, verse 9, God. Ain't that right, Marcus and Pete? I whooped all them back there. Ain't that right? So verse 9, we make it. I got burnt running too, though. Where little Mimi at? Little Mimi, little Karina daughter, she challenged me. She run track. She challenged me. I almost beat her, but I had my suit on and the clergy collar and a robe, and I couldn't. The wind held me down, so I couldn't get it. But I didn't want to mess up her self-esteem, too, because I didn't want to. So I kind of let her go ahead and win. So I just kind of let her. You got it, girl. You go, girl. You go, girl. But verse 9 says, we make it our aim to please the Lord. Can you say that about your life? That your plight in life, your aim in life is to please the Lord. Please, how do you please the Lord? By doing his will. How do you please the Lord? By loving what he loves. Does God love? God loves people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This should be my motivation for existence. This should be the reason for me getting out of bed. This should be my desire. This should be my enthusiasm. This should be my stimulus. This should be my catalyst. This should be what I do. I want to please the Lord. You cannot please the Lord by keeping your mouth closed when it comes to the things that God had done for you. We overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. The only reason reason why God brought you out is for you to tell somebody how you came out so God can bring them out. Come on here, somebody. You got to be able to tell somebody
about what the Lord has done.
Write these scriptures down if you're taking notes. Galatians 1:10, Paul said that I'm not trying to please you. I'm trying to please God. Colossians 1:10, Paul said, I'm fully pleasing to him. I want to walk in a manner that where I'm fully pleasing to him. Oh, Ephesians 5:10, he said we ought to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. He says it over and over and over and over again to finally get us to that one day that whenever this life is done. In Luke 19:17, this is what I want to hear, because I spent my entire life pleasing him. I want him to say, well done, your good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now make your ruler over most. I'm gonna make your ruler over much, much more. God is pushing us. This is my motivation. I want to please the Lord. You're not here just to make money. You're not in this life just to find your honey. You're not in this life just to parent children and all that. It has to do with why you're here, but that's not your ultimate purpose. Your purpose is to do the will of the Father. The second thing we see is the master's evaluation. Not only do you have a motivation for existence, you're put here for a reason. You're put here for God has given you a purpose. But on top of that, what else should make you get into action, whatever else should make you do what God has called you to do, it should know that one day the master is going to evaluate my life. It's right here. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, look what Paul says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that everyone may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. You ever want to do a good study? Do a study on the judgment seat of Christ versus the great white throne of judgment. Those are two different places. The judgment seat of Christ, they call it the Bema seat. The Bema seat is where all believers are going to stand. This is where we're going to be rewarded with what we do. Now, don't get this construed with works righteousness. I'm already going to heaven. If I stand in front of the Bema seat, if I stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to heaven. But here, this is my works, all this preaching, all this teaching, all these things that I've done. And God is going to weigh my motives behind what I did. And if I did it just for me to get a pat on the back, if I did it just for somebody to call my name, he says it's going to be tried by the fire. And some people are going to have all this work. They've been serving the Lord for 30, 40, 50, 60 years and standing behind all these works that they've done and say, Lord, look what I did. And when God put it under the fire, he said it's going to burn and you're going to be standing by a pile of ashes because you did it with the wrong motivation. But can I tell you, do a study. I don't got time to unpack it today, but do a study about the judgment seat of Christ. Do a study about the Bema seat. Do a study and see what God is going to do. Everything I do in this life, he says he's going, I got to stand there and I got to pay account for whether it was good. I got to pay account whether it was bad. It's going to be a day of reckoning. And what am I trying to tell you? You think when you stand in front of God, he want to know how much money you saved? You want to think when you stand in front of God, he going to want to know how big your house was, how fast your car? Oh no, he going to say, how is it that you were around all those people all those years and you never told them what I did for you in your life? Can I tell you, God is going to call us on the carpet about all this air we breathe, about all this strength he gave us, about all of the miracles, the signs, and the wonders he done in our life, and we didn't do nothing with it but please ourselves. Do you really believe that one day God is going to call you on the carpet? Do you really believe that one day God is going to have a day a reckoning based off what you did with the life he gave you? You think it's all about money, huh? You think it's all about material things? You think it's all about just being this and being that? No, my friend. The purpose of you being here is that one day when I meet him, I want to meet him in peace. And not only meet him in peace, I want to stand there and I want him to say, oh, what you did, you didn't do it for me, but you did it through me. Yes, sir. I want him to stand there and say, son, you honored me. Look at 1 John 2:28. This is how some of us are. 1 John 2:28. And now little children abide in him so that when he appears, he being Jesus, when he come, he said, we may not have confidence. He said, we may have confidence rather. Here it is. And not shrink from him in shame at his coming. You know why some people will shrink in shame when the Lord comes because they know they haven't done what they were supposed to do. You know why some people will shrink and you would think the people that love the Lord, know the Lord, have a relationship with Him, they'll be Maranatha. That means come quickly, Lord. That means like the church at Thessalonica, when they heard when Jesus stepped on that cloud and said He was getting ready to go away, they wouldn't even work no more. They wasn't going nowhere no more. They was cloud watchers every day. That's why Paul had to write to the Thessalonica church and said, a man don't work, don't eat. Come on. And they were standing around looking, is He going to come today? Well, Jesus finna come. I don't need no job. I don't need no wife. I don't need nothing. They just looking at the cloud every day. They were waiting on Jesus to return. And that's how we ought to be. While we're looking for Him, we ought to be working for Him. While we're looking for Him, I ought to be serving Him. While I'm looking for Him, you would think that people that put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ would have an anticipation. They're saying, come, Lord. Oh, come rid us of this world of sin. Come, Lord. Come snatch us out of all this violence. Come, Lord. Take us away from all this raping, all this murder. Come, Lord. Snatch us out of this world. We don't know what's going on every hand, but can I tell you, there's so many people that put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want Jesus to come because they know when He comes, they haven't done what they've called, what He called, what He called, what He called, what He called us to do. Yes, sir. You preaching it here today, and I'm glad about it. I'm encouraging myself. I'm raising up an army, trying to raise up an army, and raise an army of individuals that will know that I have a motivation for existence. Oh, to know that the Master will evaluate me one day. Thirdly, I need to figure out, am I being maneuvered? Or is there a maneuvering of God's love? Oh man. A maneuvering of God's love. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ makes me dance. For the love of Christ makes me a tongue talker. For the love of Christ makes me take laps around the building. You don't say that? The love of Christ does what? Controls us. It maneuvers me. It pushes me. I'm not going to say nothing to him. I said, go say something to him. I don't want to talk to him. I said, talk to him. I said, speak to him. I ain't speaking nothing. Good morning. The Lord. Well, y'all, they go help me. When you say for real, when you love God for real, when God has done something in your life, every now and then He'll make you do some stuff that you don't want to do. Every now and then He'll make you say some things you don't want to say. Every now and then He'll make you stop doing some things that you don't want to stop doing, because the love of God controls me. The Lord of God glues me together. It holds me together. Is your life being controlled by the love of God, or is your life being controlled with the love of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life? What is your life being controlled by? Trying to get some money, trying to be this and trying to be that, or am I being controlled with God? Oh, Matthew 6:33 says, seek Him first and all of His righteousness, then all these things will be added. God controls my life. I'm rolling. God controls my life. This is why we all need to be evangelists. This is why all of us need to have an evangelistic anointing, because I'm asking God, control my life. It's not about my comfort. It's not about what I would desire to do, because I have something. I have a message of regeneration. I have a message of regeneration. I have a message, David, of regeneration. I have a message of regeneration. He desires to work through me to get something to someone else. I have a motivation for existence. I'm here to please the Lord. I have the master's evaluation. One day He's going to call me on the carpet for what I did and what I did not do. He maneuvers me with His love. And where does He push me to? Where does He control me to? What is he telling me to do? He's telling me to go and tell my people that I desire to regenerate them. Verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What message of regeneration? This is the gospel story. This is what it's all about, because all of us come from somewhere. All of us have a past that we're not necessarily proud of. Some of us have some things we'll never tell somebody that we did. Some of us have gone through some things and engaged in some things that we won't stand up and testify about it. Oh, but can I tell you, God put people in your path every day that have come through some things and have gone through some things, and they don't have to carry the weight of the world of what they've done. All of us have made mistakes. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen. All of us have a history. All of us have a past. But my friend, this is the message of regeneration. You don't have to carry that past. You don't got to live in that past. God said that all things are passed away, and behold, all things will become new. That's the story of the butterfly. The butterfly was not always a butterfly, but the butterfly was a caterpillar. Put my picture back up there. The butterfly was a caterpillar, and that caterpillar put himself in a posture because there was something on the inside of that caterpillar that said it's something more to life than me just crawling around. It's something more to life than me just sitting around, sliding around. Oh, but God innately put in that caterpillar to eat some moist green leaves. And when that caterpillar ate those leaves, it spit out a cocoon. Come on here. Oh, it's what you eat that will shape your world that you exist in. Yes, sir. That's why I need the word of God, because when I digest the word, when I eat the word, it will form and frame the world that I live by. My God, truth and love. Y'all hurting me today. Y'all ain't helping the preacher, but I'm coming through here with you or without you, because this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, we have a message of regeneration. Sit down for me. Sit down for me. Sit down for me. Sit down. We got a message of regeneration. Listen to me. This is what we tell people. This is what makes this a deal that you can't refuse. That you have the potential to be the same but different. When I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I was the same individual in the natural. But God had did a work in me in the spiritual. Come on here. He did something on the inside of me that I did more. It was more than what met the eye. Come on here, somebody. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Whereas a person was dead to God, and now as a new creature, we become alive to God. Look at somebody say, I'm a new creature. Whereas a person had no relationship with God. Oh, but a new creature, now I have a relationship with God. Tell somebody, I'm a new creature. Whereas a man was not sure about God, but when it comes into my heart and saves my soul, now I know without a shadow of a doubt that I know God that lives me. I know God exists. Oh, I'm a new creature. He done something in me. Worked something in my life. I got a message of regeneration, and then we also have a message of reconciliation. A message of regeneration. God wants me to be different. God wants me to be better. God wants me to leave my past in my past. But this is the best part of the message, because God says he desires to reconcile with me. Reconcile, reconcile. What is reconcile? Let me just read the verse and I'll tell you. Verse 18 says, all this is from God. Y'all missed it. God desires a relationship with me. All of this is from God. He desires a relationship with me. He desires to spend time with me. He desires for me to be in the meet him in the cool of the day, like he did Adam. He said, Adam, where are you? Adam, meet me. Adam, where are you? You met me in the cool of the day. We used to talk. We used to commune with one another. But because of sin, because of something happened, and Adam bit something he wasn't supposed to bite, he ate something he wasn't supposed to eat. Here it is. There was a breach in their relationship. Now God and Adam were estranged, because God is too holy to dibble dabble with sin. He still loves, oh, but he hates sin. He loves the individual, but he hates sin. And we got to learn how to do that. And that's why folk don't like coming to church. Y'all wake up. Don't go to sleep on me on a message like this. A message that you need. Come on, wake up, wake up. So look at somebody, say, wake up. Look down your road. Hit them till they get off the wall and say, wake up. Come on here, look down your road. Wake up, wake up. Lord, I'm trying to help you. Trying to help. Right down there. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Yeah, wake them up. Yeah. The one person I was trying to wake up still asleep. Lord have mercy. Can I tell you that God, here we go, that God desires to reconcile us. And I do that because I care. I do that because I don't want nobody just to, here, listen to this. You just don't come to church to get through a message. You come to church to get to the message. The message get to you. You're not just coming to sit through service and say you came to church today. No, God got a word he's trying to get to you. Not trying to just sit through something. Oh yeah, time to go. No, get this word. Here, God has he wants to reconcile us. And this why we ought to share our faith. This why we ought to tell somebody. Because you tell them that God desires to have a relationship with you. He don't want you to go to hell. It's not his will for any to perish. But he wants everybody to come to the knowledge of the saving of Jesus Christ. He wants everybody to know that he's loving, he's compassionate, that he's good. Oh my God, that he's a friend to the friendless. He's a mother to the mother. He's a father to the father. God wants to reconcile me. And time when I used to rebel him, God wants to reconcile with me. At times I used to reject him, God wants to reconcile with me. At times I used to curse God, oh now God wants to reconcile with me. At times I ignored God, but he desired to reconcile with me. At times I disobeyed him. At times I used to fight against him, but he said, let's be reunited and let's make it feel so good. Oh, I desire to do something in your life. Verse 19, this is how it's going to be done. It's going to be done, that is, in Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself. Here it is. If you don't shout on this, I'm going to question your salvation. Not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. I told you that God, there we go. I don't got to question it now. God desires for us to be reconciled, but he's too holy to fellowship with sin. So in order for us to fellowship with him, he doesn't count our sins against us. This is what the gospel is about. You tell people talking about they're too bad. God don't want no relationship with me. See, you don't know what I did. You don't know what I smoked. You don't know what I chewed. You don't know what I drunk. You don't know what I did. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter how bad you think you are. God says, I know what you did. And that's why I made my son available to you. That know what you did. That's why I sent my son to be wounded and be bruised and be chastised. I know what you did. That's why his blood is so efficacious. His blood is so powerful. He knows exactly what you did, but he desires to have a relationship.